You'll repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My eyes see.
My eyes see.
My ears hear.
My ears hear.
And my spirit does perceive.
My spirit does perceive.
You're talking to me.
You're talking to me.
Amen. Amen. I questioned the Lord again. What is it that you want? And this morning, very early, he was picking on me. The Lord ever pick on you? Mm-hmm. All right, well, he was picking on me. About two kinds of faith. And one of the major issues about two kinds of faith, there's a lot of different scriptures that are important, but I just want to quote a few that I pray will awaken you. That there are many people who get healed, and a few days later they lose it. And faith is your own faith, and is the law of success in the realm of the spirit. Faith in your own faith is the law of success in the realm of the spirit. You live in a word, and the word lives in you. The word is a living thing. And when you let loose, it is letting God loose in you. You like it? Say, when I let loose,
I'm
letting God loose through me. Amen? When you dare to act on the word and speak the word of God, God's will in the word is really speaking. As the word gains the ascendancy, there will be an unconscious faith in your own ability to trust in him. You will trust him utterly. You will go the limit of his word. It is a beautiful thing when a man abandons himself to the word, swings utterly free, and lets God loose in him until greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, becomes a thrilling reality. 1 Corinthians 2:12 tells us that we have received the Spirit that we may know the things that have been freely given to us of God. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us. Get to know your place, your rights, and your privileges, and your authority. That's a lot in one sentence. There is no problem about faith then. Faith is a problem only when we do not know the Lord and we do not know the Word. Give place to God inside of you. Reckon on God inside of you. In the morning before you rise, say, I can do that because he is in me. He is inside of me. He will enable me to meet these people. He will enable me to speak the word. He will enable me to walk in love. Because greater is love within me than jealousy and hatred around me. Just reckon on God inside of you. Plan your work with the conscientiousness of his ability to put you over the top. He has become a living reality. He is in there now. He awaits your demands upon him. I love this part. He unveils himself as your needs demand it. You are expecting him to guide you into all truth or reality. Whenever you take up the word for a few minutes, you know that the light inside of you will open the word to make it a living thing. John 16:13. You might write that one down because I think it helps. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you into all the truth. So his guidance is going to work on you. He will take the Father's things and unveil them to you. You have unconscious confidence in the name when spoken through your lips. You know that if you say in the name of Jesus, demons come out of a man or a woman, that he will come out. You know, knowledge, inner knowing, when you command that disease to stop being, that it will stop being. You know that when you take the name of Jesus Christ for finances to meet an obligation, that as sure as the Father sits on his throne, the money will come in. You know his word in your lips will save the lost, heal the sick, give courage and strength to the weak, and victory to the defeated. Once it was God's word in Jesus' lips, now it's God's word in my lips. Try it on. Say once. It was God's word, on Jesus' lips, and in Jesus' heart. Now it is God's word coming out of my lips and coming out of my heart. Jesus believed in God's word and his lips. Your confidence in that word makes it a living thing in your lips. How rich and beautiful life becomes when the word gains the ascendancy in your heart. In other words, it goes higher than your fears and your doubts and all the things that plague you. It will be a great day when you know that your faith does things, when you believe in your own ability to reach the ear of love. When you know that your prayers are answered, that God hears you, you are no longer dependent on another person's faith. You have your own. Say it's over and over again. At last I have faith in my own faith. Wow. I can reach God as well as anyone else. If a loved one is stricken, you fearlessly take your rights and deliver them from the enemy. Your prayer prevails. Your faith wins. Right, Joe? Yeah. You can use the name of Jesus as well as anyone now. That name is yours at last. With it, all authority. And you dare use it as your own. He gave you the right to use it. And you are to do it. Knowledge is of no value unless you know how to use it. You can have your timetables, and if you go to the store and you need your computer, you're going to be in trouble. Like some of the kids today. Without a calculator, they can't make change. If the machine doesn't tell them what to give back, they make a mistake. And they can't figure out anything in their heads. Yeah.
I know.
You know you're standing with the Father. You know your privilege. Now act your part. The largest percentage of those who are healed in mass meetings, where they have mass faith, seldom ever maintain their healing. The reason is obvious. They have no personal faith. It is just faith in other people's faith. In Hebrews 5:12, when by reason of time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need again that some one teach you the rudiments of the first principles and oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not solid food. For everyone that partakes of milk is without experience, in other words, of righteousness. For he is a baby. Everyone that partakes of milk, that is, lives in the realm of the senses, and is dependent on sense evidence instead of the word, has had no experience in the word of righteousness, he is still a baby. What does it mean? Those people who have been healed by someone else's faith for years have reached a place where God demands that they have faith of their own. If they are unwilling to study the word, unwilling to develop their faith life, they will turn to the arm of flesh and suffer the penalty that naturally follows. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
God expects every one of us to have experienced it in the word of righteousness. In other words, that we have experienced our own in praying for the sick folks, in proclaiming the word, in leading men to Christ, in unveiling the word. That belongs to every believer. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Here is a better translation. Giving thanks unto the Father who has given us the ability to enjoy our share of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered you out of the authority of darkness. He has recreated your spirit. Now he is ready to renew your mind so that you may understand your privileges and rights in Christ. It belongs to you. You have a right to it. You should enjoy it instead of being dependent upon someone else's faith. You have faith in your own now. You have faith of your own now. What an hour it will be if those who read this book should declare, by the grace of God, I will have my own faith. You have a right to it. It belongs to you. You have the same Holy Spirit that I have, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had and that the apostles had. You have the same eternal life, the same righteousness, the same ability. The Father has no favorites. The Father has no favorites. All these things belong to every one of us, so we need to be barren or unfruitful. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye may have always insufficiency in everything, may abound in every good works. And in the 10th verse he says, and he that supplieth seed to the sower and bread for food shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruit of your righteousness. You have the righteousness that is imparted to you in the nature of the Father at the new birth. That righteousness should be bearing fruit in your daily life, not just at church. You should take advantage of the fact that your legal standing before the throne, of your rights in Christ, and begin to pray for the sick and the needy. It's not just the pastor's job. That's Kim's version.
Amen.
You have the same legal standing before God that Paul had, and that you have the same righteousness that he had. There is no excuse to hide your light beneath a bushel. Begin to witness.
Amen.
Of what you are in Christ. As I was studying that this morning, I said, Lord, how many people never pick up a Bible? They come to church to get a blessing. They go home with the blessing or their healing, and they lose it in 3 days or less. And then they blame the person who prayed. That church not for me because I'm not healed. They didn't pray right. And I'm not putting that here. I am just telling you that's the general outlook from many believers who visit churches. They're looking to be satisfied. They're looking to be ministered to, but they don't want to do the homework. Doing the homework is going to be calling you to accountability, calling you to take a little bit of time in your own Bible, on your own. And I'm not trying to be nasty. I'm just trying to be honest. You have the ability in you. It's like saying, okay, tonight I'm going to walk home. I'm not going to use my car. I'm just going to just walk home. I won't even put on my boots. The cold will not affect me. Okay?
Put some sandals on.
But you understand.
I do.
Use what God has given you. The privileges we have as believers today to grow up and mature. It's going to, yes, be costly, but your whole life's going to change. And those around you will also change. And why this was so powerful for me is because I got a phone call the other night. And the person said, I know you have a direct line with the Lord. Ooh, that's kind of nice, you know. I didn't say a word, I just listened. Well, this little baby I just heard of needs prayer. Don't know who abused the child, but the child is in the trauma center. And it's 2 weeks old. And it's going through convulsions.
Oh my God.
2 weeks old. And the person said to me, I knew if I would have had some oil, I would have anointed the baby. And I said, you laid hands. Yes, I did. God did the work. He saw your heart.
Amen.
It's not about me praying. It's what you did. You had the presence of heart, the compassion within you will flow right into that baby. Mm-hmm. And that baby will be fine because Jesus will continue to bless that baby. And those of you who think about Lincoln, that's his first name. Oh. So pray for Lincoln. That he will make it through and that the parents will have the grace and favor that they need not to be put behind bars if they're guilty. I don't know where, how, or whatever, but the parents are the ones that brought the baby. So only God knows what you can go through. But you understand, a parent that has never had a child can lose it. And I've seen people lose it. But to this degree, yeah. Only God knows. But there could be other things involved. There could be drugs involved. We don't know. God knows. So, would you do me a favor? Would you put your hand over your heart and say, today,
today.
I'm taking confidence in the righteousness that's in me.
In the righteousness that's in me.
And I'm declaring, that I'm having faith, in my faith.
In my faith.
Every time I sit in a chair, I have faith that the four legs will carry me. Every time that I do the laying on of hands.
I have faith
that Jesus will heal.
And set them free.
When I pray in the name.
Above every name.
The name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Blessings to me for a change. Because I have faith.
In my own faith.
And it's going to grow.
When I use it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Share.